Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dabblers yet again.
Oh, this is great.
This time we're back.
We're so prolific these days. We put out so many podcasts now. We can call ourselves an actual podcast.
We've never had a back-to-back. It's more back-to-back. This is the third back. It's just two backs. Don't be thinking there's another. No.
Okay, so a lot of back. I can see what's on your mind, Zeppo. I can see what's on your mind. Friday night tomorrow.
Friday night.
I know you guys all back. Always like the Doja Cat song. If you could see it from the front, wait till you see it from the back.
This thing you see it back.
That's what is also in Zeppo's mind, everybody. Quentin's mind, dirty as fuck tonight.
You know, funny, when speaking of Doja, I don't know how we got here, but we're here now for the first 5 minutes, I guess. First time I listened to Doja was what's that? It wasn't that one. What's that super popular song? Yeah. When I heard Say So, I questioned myself. I'm like, should I be singing along to these lyrics? I mean, as a street, as a herald to know what, should I be out here singing? But then I was like, fuck it. I
stopped asking myself those questions a long time ago. People are like, no, when you sing songs by women, you have gender bend. You can't just say, oh, I want you take the night. You can't sing that, Dave. And I'm like, but when I gender bend, it feels like I'm changing the idea of the song, you know? I want that authentic feeling. If Lady Gaga says she wants that dick tonight, I'm saying it too. Okay, but I don't mean it.
You don't mean it, no, not at all.
I don't mean it. Now I feel like I'm homophobic. I have no in pride month.
What did that Jeff Dunham puppet like to say? Moving on.
it's Pride Month. I there's a spectrum, you know. Maybe some dudes, I don't know, but not all dudes. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. My voice is getting higher. This goes on. Moving on. Xbox Showcase, PlayStation Showcase.
We didn't introduce this episode. This episode is a PlayStation Showcase versus the Xbox Showcase. It always has been since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of gaming times. It's been PlayStation versus Xbox, with PC just standing there being like, I'm better than both of y'all. But anyway.
But you know who else I realize is standing there? But like in their own little corner, just laughing? It's like Nintendo.
Okay. Yeah.
When I got my Nintendo Switch, I was like, oh my god, these guys are just like in the corner doing their own thing. I wasn't even getting third-party games anymore, dude. Like, Nintendo Switch is so bad. It is so finished as a console. It is so good. The design of the Switch is fantastic. Like, this idea that it's portable and then it's on TV, it's fantastic. But it's reached the point where it's finished. It's absolutely done. But because Nintendo are so determined to just do their own thing, it doesn't matter. Like, during the COVID, Animal Crossing, crazy. Then Pokemon came out, crazy numbers. And then this year, Tears of the fucking Kingdom is looking like the craziest game anyone can play, dude. I see people building some other shit, dude. I'm like, it's all this to solve a puzzle?
Right? just sit there in a corner like, oh, you guys are still doing that? Okay. This is coming out, by the way.
They're like, oh, you guys are putting out new consoles? You're so funny.
So funny.
Okay, children. Like, they don't even have, like, Call of Duty. Like the basics. FIFA is basically like FIFA 18, dude. Like, the FIFA they have is like FIFA 18, 17. They stopped aging a long time ago. They just swap out the rosters. Like, next one in.
I was even surprised to find that they have Hellblade, the first Hellblade on, like, oh, it's on Switch?
Bro.
Okay.
I'm still suspicious. I want to get it, but I'm like, it looks. The thing is, Switch hardware is not. It's not built for that, dude. It's not built for that. Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not like built for that at all.
It looks stable. Stable-ish. I don't know. It looks stable. But anyway. Which showcase do we go first? Do we go start with PlayStation Showcase and our thoughts on that before?
Let's go in chronological order, you know.
Chronological
order. So Fair Games was the first thing. CGI reveal trailer, they call it.
Third person co-op shooter. Helldivers. Arrowheads. Interesting, dude. Very interesting. This question ties into a bunch of shit that they showed us. But basically, like, there's a bunch of things that are multiplayer co-op shooters and other stuff from like PlayStation Showcase. What did you think about
that?
Because when I see something in the showcase, it tells me this is what we're doing in the future. So if I'm seeing like three or four projects that are multiplayer co-op shooters, I'm saying PlayStation is looking to get into the multiplayer space now. Like, they've conquered the first person story stuff, you know, but like they want multiplayer co-op shooter stuff. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like it's starting to look like that's the next bit of conquest, so to speak. And I don't know, man. I've never been. I mean, co-op shooters are fun when I suppose you're playing with someone that you're familiar with, and it's like, okay, dude, we're doing this. Let's go. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why Army of Two back in the day was such a successful shooter, because it was like a co-op shooter, but like you could just chill there and someone that you know, and like, okay, let's just go around killing. But like co-op shooters in 2023, it smells like, okay, co-op shooter. I start my co-op shooter and I get paired with some random guy and I have to pay money for DLCs as well. and then now me and this random person have to sit there and we have to figure shit out. No, dude, that's not how I play. Okay, now we have to sit there for 2 months figuring out how each of us play and then play. But in terms of,
I feel like you're right, but co-op shooters, I mean your friends can join eventually. You don't have to stick with that.
Yeah, eventually.
I mean, eventually. If you're talking about like free to play co-op the stuff or like multiplayer shooters, then we're talking Apex, we're talking Warzone. That gets a bit. It's one of the reasons I don't get into it, because I'm like, I suck ass, and then I'm gonna have this 12-year-old here going, "Oh my god, you're such a noob! Oh my god, you're such a piece of shit! Oh my god, I told you to go over there."
Right?
I don't know if I want that experience.
The other question that I have with the co-op shooter situation is it like free to play style where we're getting all these random missions? Like, let's take Fair Play for instance, for starting. When I first saw the trailer, I was thinking, oh, this is kind of reminding me of Watch Dogs, specifically Watch Dogs 2. Which, speaking of Watch Dogs, I never played the first one in full. I only played the second one and enjoyed it greatly. But the second one felt like its own isolated sort of thing in any case. But like when I started seeing the Fair Games trailer, I'm like, oh, this looks like Watch Dogs 2. And then I watched the trailer one, I'm like, okay, this is not Watch Dogs 2 then. It's in the same vein, sort of. I saw some hacking here and there. But Fair Games is a co-op shooter that doesn't have a story, and it's just random missions. I'm not sure if I'm gonna be digging it.
It's a competitive modern heist game where you team up to break into. Was I reading the description for the next one? Oh my god, I was reading that. Anyway, this was PlayStation Showcase kicked off with a cinematic trailer for Haven's PlayStation exclusive Fair Game with the dollar sign for games with the dollar sign. It's described as competitive modern heist game where you team up to break into exotic locations, steal the common. Interesting.
See, now that doesn't sound like something that I would enjoy necessarily playing, because
we are not really competitive gamers, are we?
No, we're not. No, We just like to chill and play something really fun, a story or like story, something scary. Yeah. It's reminding me of Payday, you know? You ever seen that game Payday?
That's just funny. Floating around. That was, Payday 3 was revealed at the Xbox showcase, right?
Yes. So it very much feels like a Payday competitor.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it. For games and Payday, basically a similar DA with the like
high stuff. With the high stuff. Literally after that trailer for Fair Games finished, that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, oh, this is so Payday, like Payday AF, you know.
But I'm interested in Fair Games. I want to see it. I want to see, but it's so hard with CGI trailers. Like doing these showcases, both of these showcases, I'd see something that's interesting in the CGI trailer and then go, but then what if the gameplay looks like ass? You know what I mean? Do you remember Redfall?
Whoa.
I hate CGI trailer. Like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, but very interesting, huh? And then it came out. I was like, oh.
And then his ass.
This is ass and not even like good ass.
not even good ass. It's just bad ass. Just chilling.
Not like, even bad ass, because you know bad ass is good. It's just ass.
You just ass.
Oh my god. Okay, next up in the PS showcase was Helldivers. Third person co-op shooter, Helldivers 2. Helldivers isn't that like an old like franchise? I never played Helldivers. Did you?
I never played Helldivers and honestly I'd never heard of Helldivers until the showcase. Then I started doing research and I discovered that it was like an old thing. I'm like, oh okay.
So that's okay, interesting. Right? Especially to call it Helldivers 2 when everybody's forgotten about Helldivers 1.
Helldivers 1.
like most people are gonna play this is gonna be like, what's Helldivers 1? What is that?
I'll give it to them though. I'll give it to them. It did the trailer was funny as hell. The way it started, some random dude's family getting like destroyed, then him being like, yeah, it's just an ad for it. Yeah. Man, again, another game that looked like something that I've seen before. It looks like Outriders. This game that I have called Outriders. Very similar thing. You come as a part of like this fleet from space and you have to colonize some new planet, but it turns out there's aliens and aliens do what aliens do. And,
aliens do what aliens do. I like the sound of that. And you kill the aliens.
It's more like and then it becomes a whole situation of kill the aliens, and it's like, okay, cool. That's what we're doing now.
All right. Tough for me because like those games just don't appeal, man. They just don't appeal.
it didn't appeal to me at all. I looked at it and I was like, I would never play this. But great for the people that would.
Exactly. I'm trying to learn like this thing where I had a reaction to the PlayStation showcase. I told you I was like I didn't like it, but that's because I was thinking about myself, right? And I think what the reaction I think I need to have now is like if I see a whole showcase go by and they show like 10, 12 games and I like one of them, then that's enough, you know. Why you always gotta be so greedy? You want everything to be about yourself. You know, if I like one
everything.
That's it, you know? So the next thing here was Immortals of Avium. This was like magic. The way they showed it off, it was like you're just like shooting magic.
Magic
shooting out your fingers. That's what I saw, which didn't interest me, but it seems like there's a bit more like under the hood there. Like, you know, you combine this magic with this magic, it does this sort of thing, you know, like, so you're not just blasting, like shooting magic things. You can also like be a bit more thinky about it, I guess, to achieve a greater result. So this could be interesting. I like the art style, really bright, really, really colorful. What do you think?
It is very bright, very colorful, there's a lot going on in that game.
Seems like he'll be annoying, but like maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah. I feel like that's what they're going for. And then it looks like there's an actual, like, decent story. And it almost, I don't know. It looked okay. Again, it looked okay for someone else. And then,
I mean, sometimes, you know, the story can be, you know, okay. You know those games you play where you're like, this story is, I guess I can play with the podcast in the background and just focus on the gameplay. It's like, those kind of stories, especially like fantasy in video games sometimes. Sometimes the stories really get boring. But after this was Ghost Runner 2. Did you ever catch Ghost Runner? I remember looking at it and going, this is interesting. It's like one. It's the one where you're like, you're running and then you're shooting. Just like non-stop running and shooting.
I remember seeing it like a bunch of times on the PS Store, and I'm looking for something, and I'm like, do I want to play Ghost Runner? I don't know. It looks interesting, I guess.
It's one of those games. I don't know. I think that's a good description for it.
And then the trailer for Ghost Runner 2 came on the showcase. I was like, I mean, you did some Ghost Rider stuff from like Ghost Rider 1, where you like get your chain and pull yourself towards a building, then ride the building. That's Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider as fuck. It was really cool to see. But am I gonna play it?
That's the issue for me, is every time I see a video of it, I'm like, oh, Ghost Runner looks like the shit, dude. Like, Ghost Runner is amazing. And then like when it comes to actually buying it, like we talk about this a lot, like both of us are broke ass gamers, so when we make a decision on the game, it really has to be a well motivated decision that is also good on the wallet, you know. And things like Ghost Runner, where you're like in between, those just don't work out. Even like AAA games these days, I'm avoiding a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, sometimes with AAA games, right, you can get like a AAA game, especially being a broadcast gamer and getting a AAA game. You have to balance the amount of game time in that AAA game, because sometimes they make AAA games get made just to look AAA, and then there's like 3 hours of gameplay, and then you're I paid a grand.
Or it's like a game that is like a huge world, huge open world. But then when you actually start playing the game, you're like, this is so bloated and just a complete waste of time. like sometimes Ubisoft, and sometimes what the flip are you doing, Ubisoft? You know what I mean? They're easy to, you know, but every AAA game is like trash these days. Like, think of Redfall. Think of just how bad that was. what was that, you know? But anyway, not to get bogged down in that. But like, the next one was one that I think I enjoyed the most. Phantom Blade Zero. It's from a developer called Cruel Man Studio. And it was fantastic. It was just like samurai-ish. Cool ass dude.
this one tickled the itch that I always have for Wuxia. I fucking love that shit.
Yes,
man.
Very Wuxia.
Like give me that any day. It's why I want to play Sekiro, even though it's always bloody expensive. And
gameplay looks like something else, yeah.
And we're always looking like Black Myth Wukong every once in a while. And I'm like, damn, I can't wait for this thing to be out.
Black Myth Wukong. Oh my God, that would be amazing. But this action game looks on that level. It looks very Asian inspired. Wuxia is more Chinese, right?
Yeah.
Where this was leaning. But this was very, extremely, very cool. This was my favorite. This is the one I saw. I was like, this is the one. You know what? And you need this in the showcase. This, for me, made the showcase 5 out of 5. Before, listen, my old mindset, I hated the showcase. But after thinking about it, this game, that's all you need, man. Just one. One, you're like, I like
just
that.
Just one.
Dude, they showed so many games when you think about it. The next one was Sword of the Sea, from the makers of Abzu, and I believe there was a Midjourney. Is this the one where they made Journey?
Yeah, those are the same guys that made Journey. They had me. You know the reason why I love this studio is because during COVID, PlayStation gave away Journey for free, and I got it and I played it, and it was so fucking amazing. Journey is probably right. It's one of the most amazing games I ever played in my life.
It's just you in running around with like a random stranger, and you're basically not talking, but you are communicating basically to solve puzzles in the game. And the music, yes. Oh my god.
Communicating using sounds. Bloop. And you're telling somebody, get your ass over here. And the character's going bloop, bloop, bloop. Come on, man. Come on, the way's here.
That is such a cool like thing, and I could see why it was so good that they put it out for free, because a lot of people maybe wouldn't jump into that. Oh, this indie, who cares? But then you find out, oh my god, it slaps so hard. Like that process that we just described, but also like the music. My god, I still listen to the music. I haven't even played the game, but the music for me is just like insanely good.
The music is amazing. The music is what keeps you in that game, because the music matches so well with the gameplay and whatever going on. You're like, oh my god, it's so good, it's so good.
Yeah, so can't wait, love it. We want more Sword of the Sea.
We want more.
Just looks so calming. The next one is Talos Principle, which I don't think you ever played. Have you played the Talos Principle before?
No, I never did.
Talos seems like a puzzle game of some kind that is inspired by like. It's not psychology, philosophy. That has to do with like philosophy and stuff. So this is an interesting one. We don't know much about it, but apparently the first one is actually very good as well. And inspired by a bunch of philosophical thinkers and ideas. So that is an interesting thing. I think people should go play the first one. Like the idea of it sounds very interesting. Like it could be very boring, but it could be very interesting. Next one was Neva, Developer Digital, and Gris Developer. Did you ever play Gris?
No, I never did. But I like the look of Neva.
Gris was like this like super popular mobile game that looked super. Like the art was incredibly beautiful, and the game was actually very like emotional and very calming. You know, very cozy, good one to play.
I feel like with indie games, if it doesn't touch the emotion, then it's not very indie. And the Neva trailer,
they're always trying to get you in the heart. It's just always
they try to go for that jugular.
I think this sticks with indies. Cat Quest, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean.
very, very cool ideas. This looks very cute. You know, you look at a game, you're like, oh, it's so cute.
It does.
I don't play enough of those games. When I moved to Nintendo Switch, I had to like be forced to like play more of those kind of games. You know what I mean? Like games that are more cozy looking games, more like cutie games. And it's actually changed my opinion on them. They're actually fantastic. Truly, truly, truly fantastic. If you're the kind of person who's always playing action, third person, you know, you should try some of these like games like Cat Quest out. They're like actually super cool. Very, very good to play. Next one was Foam Stars. Foam Stars was actually at the Summer Game Fest thing, and a bunch of people played it, and apparently it was interesting. It was this thing where you're sort of running around shooting foam.
Apparently it's very similar to something that you have on Nintendo. Splatoon. Yeah.
I never played Splatoon, so who knows? Next one. The Plucky Squire.
Nothing else.
Hey man, if you don't know, you don't know. The next game is more interesting.
Again, it's one of those super cute looking games.
The Plucky Squire. It looks like you play like a character that goes into a book. Like you play a character, then they go into a book. Like you're this like little character that's like in this child's bedroom. Like, and then you can actually go into a book.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in this. Like, I don't know how it's gonna work. But right now I'm very, very interested. What do you think?
It kind of the I guess the idea around it kind of reminded me of what's that game that came out a couple of It Takes Two. I really liked how It Takes Two unfolded.
Did you
That
play It
whole
Takes Two?
character. No, I watched someone play it on Twitch
Yeah, me too.
for
It's
like
weird.
a
I don't know if I would have
lot.
liked playing it. It's very interesting,
I
though.
don't. I also don't know if I would have liked playing it, but
The
I
thing is, you
liked
have to
watching
stick
someone
it
else play
through.
it.
You have to, like, stick it through, get to the end. I don't know, man. I'm a flaky dude. Dave, we need to finish the. Do we? Do we really?
I've been sitting there with I don't know what with Vampire for like months, and I'm like, I should totally finish Vampire. And I'm like, ah,
Is this
do I
Vampire with
though?
the
I don't
Y?
know. Yeah,
Is
with
this the
the
one?
Y.
I've only heard about that game. Is it cool? Empire with the Y.
It's pretty cool. The vampire powers are very decent, but at some point it does get a little slow, and I'm like.
There was a vampire game that came out. It was multiplayer. It was like a battle royale thing, but like
Oh yeah,
inspired by the world of
the
Vampire Masquerade. I think Blood Hunt was it called?
Back for Blood.
No, that's a different one. Back for Blood is
Oh.
that one is also co-op though. But that's different, I think. That's a co-op one, right? With zombies. Is it zombies? No,
It's
Back for Blood. That
vampires?
sounds like vampires. Maybe I'm
Yeah, it's
thinking of Left 4
vampires.
Dead. Left 4 Dead was
You're
the
like
first one,
vampire
right?
hunters and shit.
Left 4 Dead was the first one that feels like that was zombies. Back for Blood is zombies. Okay. I've not touched that one. Again, not the type of
Vampire
game
games.
I usually play. Back 4 Blood would be interesting. Next was Teardown, which seems like a destruction sim. Like you're just going around like destroying Lego shit.
It's like the opposite of Minecraft,
Just
basically.
mind destroying.
Yes,
Teardown looked like
mind
just
destroy.
destruction, destroying pixels. But the one after
There's
this was
one
the big one,
around.
I think. Metal Gear Solid Delta. I believe it's not triangle, it's Delta. Metal Gear Solid
It's
Delta
Delta.
Snakey. This is one we have been wanting for a long time. As someone who missed the Metal Gear Solid hype, I missed all of the Metal Gear 1, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear 3, and I hope they said they're gonna do a collection where they actually bring out Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3. Was it 1 and 2? And then this is 3. I feel like 1
I
and
played
2 are gonna come out in a collection, and then
I
this is a
literally
remake of
jumped
2.
everything.
Oh, don't tell me you jumped to like 5 or something.
I did. I played five
I remember
because it was
seeing
cheap.
5.
It was the definitive edition.
I think I played it on like my PC, but my PC at that time was shit, so I couldn't play for too long. But it looked really good, and really good. Like
It was a very confusing game because it
I
had
think it's
so
very
many elements.
stealthy, right? Like at least
Not
the
it
one I
was
played.
until they started introducing supernatural shit in there,
I
and
mean
like
that's that
people's
Kojima
souls
shit,
going
right?
into giant robots and stuff. I'm like, okay, what?
That's that Hideo Kojima, bruh. Never know what to expect from
It's
that guy. Oh man,
Hideo out here. I'm like,
that's
Kojima, what do
funny.
you mean?
And apparently he's not involved in this, which is kind of sad. You know, him and Kojima had that issue where they basically kicked him off all the projects that he was doing for them, and just like they like erased his name from existence at Konami, not Kojima.
Oh
What am I
shit.
saying? At Konami. Him and Konami had a big falling out that like resulted in them like erasing his name from like the history books of Konami. Like, they don't even
But
mention him.
didn't Mans basically start Konami?
No, I
I
don't
feel
think he
like you
started
basically
Konami,
started
but
Konami.
he was basically like the linchpin for a bunch of the games. Like Metal Gear Solid is his baby, I believe. And he was about to do Silent Hills or something like that before they kicked him off that as well. So yeah, it's just a mess. But yeah.
I wonder who's which studio. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of studios out there that would love to have Hideo Kojima working with them. I mean, come on, it's
Dude, just get
Hideo
him in, man. Just Hideo.
Kojima.
get him away from that Death Stranding. I don't want to say my thoughts. I like Death Stranding. It's cozy. It's calm.
No, Death Stranding is not calm. Death Stranding is not cozy. Death Stranding is frustrating. What the hell do you mean? I'm out here delivering cross country just to get to the end of a story.
Hey man, you're connecting the world. You're linking America back together.
Fuck America. I don't mean that.
I love the cutscenes more than the gameplay.
truly. I do. Like
Guillermo del Toro. There's so many interesting things happening. Troy Baker.
I pushed through that game as far as I could just for the cutscenes. At some point, the cutscenes were not enough to keep me going.
Yeah. What did he call it? A strand game? That guy. He's a genius, but you know, geniuses have, you know, sometimes they get ambitious. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm going to skip one.
Yeah.
I'm going to kiss. Actually, no, I'm not going to skip it. Next from Dreamlit Games is an open world builder called Towers of Agaspa. It's been a while since I watched this, so I don't know how they say it. But that looks pretty interesting. Very cool art style. Again, this is another indie, right? I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, feels indie.
Very good. If you think of PlayStation, usually they're the ones with like PlayStation. Usually it's like less indies from them, but here so much of their focus was on
indies. Yeah, they did a lot of indie stuff.
Which is actually really cool if you think about it. Like that puts a spotlight on those games. Next one is Final Fantasy 16. I just played the demo. Let me tell you, I had no expectation. Because the last Final Fantasy I played was like 8 point something and it was shit. But this.
Yes, we played that one together a long time ago.
To be fair, we didn't know. There's like, everybody says there's like, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 6, 7, 8 or something like that. And then there's like others that are like super good. I think we fell on the wrong one. One of the wrong ones.
Yeah, probably fell on the worst one.
Back then, we did not like turn-based stuff as well, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It was like just terrible. But this is not turn-based. This is more like action RPG. And let me tell you, I was in. Dude, it's good. The story is interesting.
You're like, what the hell's going on?
Dude, the story is interesting. Like medieval fantasy storytelling. There's this cool magic system where there's these people called dominants that can like become like dragons and phoenixes and giants of all kinds. Very interesting. Very interesting. If you were not interested in Final Fantasy 16 before this, listen. It is good, bro. I swear to God. I played an hour of that shit and I was actually considering buying it. We're going to take a little break, folks. But we'll be back in a minute with more podcast.
Yep.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I'm kidding. You don't have sponsors. Just take a minute and I'll hit you up in a few. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tablets Podcast. We're still discussing the PlayStation Showcase, but now we'll have to be doing it a lot quicker because we've been too slow on that. Going one by one, dude, this is taking so long.
It's taking so long. All right. Cool, and there's
we're basically going to skip the VR titles. Section.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the big stuff. We're going to skip all of this other. Like,
he just said, fuck you in the game.
hey, if there's any indie game developers here, not trying to be that guy, but we'll be here for 5 hours. You know what I mean?
We love indies, man. We love. I mean,
we love indies. We do, but there's stuff like Alan Wake 2 and Spider-Man.
Alan Wake 2, man. Oh my god. What do you think about Alan Wake 2? Because did you ever play the first one?
So Alan Wake, the first Alan Wake, I remember barely remember, to the extent where I went to the PlayStation store and I discovered that they actually was Alan Wake 1 remastered for like $100, and I was like, I'm not missing out on
that. 100 rand.
That's like $100. No, not $100 or £100 to you people listening. 100 rand. Probably like I don't know, it's like $10 or something, and even less in pounds.
Probably four or five, mate. I don't think it's that.
Listen, that dirt cheap.
Advertising the game here. Listen to that, folks. It's dirt cheap. So what's stopping you from getting Alan Wake 1? Get it now. Go all your local stores. Alan Wake. But all I remember from Alan Wake, Alan Wake is you take a torch and you flash it in the thing. That's why.
Oh yeah, mean. Yeah. So
like a torch and flash it in the thing.
But but that's also what I remember too. Until I started replaying it, and I'm like, oh, there's an actual story here. I'm not just like hitting people with a flashlight.
Alan Wake is a writer, folks. So I think in the first one you play as Alan Wake, right? Or do you see a character in the
getting
story?
Chased by his own creations.
Ah, that's interesting. And then the second one, it seems like they've taken more of a sort of approach. I heard some people talking about it who did the previews with it, and they're saying there's a lot of like, You play. I think half as Alan Wake and half as FBI agent. I think her name is Saga or something like that. And it seems like, in terms of her storytelling, you are doing a lot of detective stuff as well. It's not just like show up, light the thing. And a bunch of people said the vibe it gave them was like that True Detective 7 kind of vibe, and that. That has me extremely interested, because that is such a specific vibe to be going for, that like gritty detective sort of vibe.
Yeah, it is.
Gritty cop vibe, that is sick. So I hope that is true.
Another thing that I was kind of hoping is true, but purely for because of me, I suppose. There's what's this? Control and Alan Wake were made by the same developer.
Yeah, Remedy
Studios. And there was a lot of like, So there was a lot of like, there was quite a few, not a lot, but a few Alan Wake references in Control. And I was kind of hoping that Alan Wake 2 might be a way for them to like merge their two worlds into one, which would have been.
I think it is the same unit. I could be wrong. I feel like the Remedy Studios games are in the same like. Universe, but loosely,
But
they all what I would like is like gameplay. I remember I didn't finish Control, but I played a bit of it, and like I like the gun. I really like how it feels. So if they can,
right?
So I hope it feels that good when I play Alan Wake this time. You know, like because the feel of Control is so good. We just nailed it there. I mean, you can just take off your own work. You already, that's yours. Just take that. That's fantastic.
Control was so good. Like, it was so good. Like, even as you get all your powers, the application of it, you're like, oh my God, this feels so good.
Yeah, so that's one I'm looking forward to. I don't know. I'll be there first week, but, you know,
I think the only game I was there first week for was Ragnarok.
Yeah, we're not those people. Pre-orders? Hell no.
No, what? I don't have that money. What? Are you crazy?
Pre-order? Are you crazy? Before you know how good it is, have you seen Cyberpunk?
What? Have you gotten the ratings? Do you want to be the one that's exposed? Do you want to have a Redfall situation in your hands first week? No.
Exactly.
No.
That's such a bad idea.
I don't know if you want to talk about Street Fighter before the big one, because I feel like that's really the game Street that was Fighter. Big.
What has interested me more about Street Fighter? I've seen other people playing it, and it looks really good. It looks really, really good. Like, the game looks very inviting to new players, which is kind of important for us, because we never stick to Street Fighter games, so we always have to like jump in as if we're noobs. But it looks really good. The animation's so sick. The fighters look good. And it looks like people are enjoying it. And I think this is a good time to jump in, you know, while people are still playing it. What do you think about it?
I mean, it's a very different approach from what Street Fighter was. And, you know, the whole take it to your streets, it's your story situation. It's not something that I guess has been explored before. And I guess that the the thing that that I'm getting from them is they might be trying to get away from the whole we've been an arcade game for like a really long time situation.
Yeah, I remember playing that in
And
the demo, and it didn't really interest me as much, the walking around and stuff.
you know what this reminds me of?
What?
The this kind of rebranding. It reminds me of the in 2014 there was this that reboot attempt for thingy for Devil May Cry, the DMC Devil May Cry game. Yeah, that's
Is
what
it D
didn't.
DMC4
No, there was literally a game, like a reboot game called DMC Devil May Cry. Very quiet, soft reboot that everyone forgot about, but I didn't.
it must have landed like a silent fart, just like everybody was
It
like.
did. It landed like a silent fart. No one cared. People were like, we want our normal Dante back. And the thing that the way, because right now it's literally 75% on Steam. But anyway. It was released in 2013, 2014, something like that.
That's
So
quiet.
it wasn't just quietly, just quietly. It was done by Ninja Theory, right? And Ninja Theory advertised it as like an alternate, as like an alternate version of Dante and Virgil and just that whole world type vibe. And no one liked it. No one liked that. No one liked that Capcom had given them that permission.
Sounds
The
weird.
hence we ended up with Devil May Cry 5.
Sounds so weird.
It was such a
Why?
weird thing. They were like, yeah, no, it's Elseworlds Dante, so it's gonna be a little different. And it was very different, but not a likable different. I feel like that's what this Street Fighters
You think you'll jump into
is
Street Fighter
changing.
when it's cheap enough? Do you think you'll be able to jump into Street Fighter when it's cheap enough? Because that's the real question. We can sit here and say, oh, it looks fun, but can you put your money
Don't
into
think
it?
so. I don't think so. I had a very, I don't know, man. I feel like our console experience Street Fighter was not very nice.
I mean, I feel like we've gotten slightly better at fighting games since then. Like back then,
True,
the
true, true.
commands, dude, I didn't understand anything. But now I think I'm slightly better, but it's just putting that kind of money into a game, it's difficult. You know what I mean? On like an
Yeah.
experiment, like, let's see how this feels. If this is like on PS Plus or Xbox Game Pass, cool. It's just there, you know? But you
Yes,
gotta
just
buy it.
I'm not gonna buy it. It's
That's
it
hard,
has
man.
its people again. It has its people. But a game that we would buy though, Spider-Man 2.
The hints at the story in this, man. The hints at the story. We see Peter in the Venom suit, and
Like from the jump,
he's already a
he already
bit,
has a symbiote.
he's already a
Oh,
bit, he's a bit
a little bit
aggressive, you
aggressive,
know?
a little bit
Like,
angry.
and you can tell there's like hints of conflict between him and Miles because Miles is like, yo, man, what's going on, bro? But I need to go and I'll be back in a second. So waffle on about Spider-Man.
So I don't know. So the way I think the Spider-Man game is gonna go, or rather from the way the showcase presented it, it feels like a sort of Spider-Man game that it feels like the sort of Spider-Man game where the attention isn't necessarily gonna be on Peter as much. It's gonna be on the effect that him having the symbiote has on the people that are around him, especially Miles himself, because that's his closest confidant. And in the world, and Miles is learning all these different things from him. Learning all these different things from him. So it's gonna be really interesting to see how that is, and just how much of Miles Morales we're actually gonna get in the game, considering that the showcase sort of makes it feel or look like we're going to be seeing a lot more of Miles, when we will of Peter's storyline in here.
You got that feeling?
So
to me it looked like we're gonna switch like a lot.
Yeah, we're gonna switch a lot, but I still feel like Miles is gonna get if for Klingon, it's like if we're looking at this like as an even ratio, like 100% of the game, how is it gonna be split? I feel like it's gonna be split 60% Miles, 40% Peter. Because
I think there's gonna be a point where Peter becomes a villain, for lack of a better term, and we're gonna have to deal with him and try and get the symbiote off him. And then after that, I mean, there could be a third character though. Now that I think about it, who do you think would be a third character?
Imagine it's Venom. Imagine the third character's Venom.
That's wild. So I'm getting the feeling there's a third character. I think there's some kind of leak that can. I'm sure we cannot trust leaks, but like I feel like I felt like there was a leak about a third character, something like that. But this is juicy, dude. Like that story, they're teasing a lot of story elements there that I didn't expect them to. And the gameplay, oh my god, the combat so as Venom. Oh my god, you look beautiful. So good,
dude. He looked the way so he, like, freaking good.
Spread the symbiote, then like drop them down. It's so cool.
It looks so.
I actually have to confess something. I'm not a big fan of the Spider-Man game. Like, this is gonna sound weird. I'm not the biggest fan of the Spider-Man or the Miles Morales game. Like I'm a lukewarm fan of those. Like after I play like an hour of them, after I play like an hour or two, or maybe three or four, I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't know why. I love Spider-Man. I swear to. It's just, I'm not the biggest fan. So I don't know if I'll be, oh man, Procast Gamers. I don't know if I'll buy this game. Oh man, I hate being a Procast Gamer. But like, that's true. When I think of Spider-Man, I don't know if I'm doing the Ragnarok. If I'm like putting all my chips into it. You know what I mean? And you're quiet too. You're quiet too because you don't want to tell the truth. You don't want to tell these people the truth. You also gonna wait until
let me tell the people the truth, right? Let me tell the people the truth, right? So this is what happened. I played the original Spider-Man game. Very good game, very solid. Very very good game, very solid.
Mm-hmm.
And
very good game,
the
villains well
built. But.
Let's go. Let's hear this part.
But I really, when I think of a Spider-Man game, or I think of Ragnar, I think of Spider-Man game, I'm not thinking of the way it, you know how the gameplay has RPG look to it sometimes when you're hitting someone and you see points coming off their body? I don't want to see that.
Well, you don't like
that. It reminded me too much of the Ubisoft Marvel game at some points, in terms of a combat.
Was that
great game?
Was that game Ubisoft?
A great game. Square Enix. Was it Square Enix?
Yeah, Crystal Dynamics. Yeah, they were part of Square Enix.
Yeah. So Square Enix had this weird combat style that the guys that. The guys at Thingy have. I want to say Naughty Dog. It's not Naughty Dog. Insomniac.
Insomniac, yeah. So you don't like the like number stuff on your UI and stuff. You want to get rid of that.
I don't like that. Just give me a UI with just my life bar on there.
I
didn't know that, actually.
Even also like when I was watching Gotham Knights, I remember thinking the same thing, like the whole point stuff. It took me out a little bit. And I think it's in the settings, but I don't want to confirm that for sure. But I'm assuming, right? That's what you'd expect if you want like a clean look on your screen. But in terms of the combat, are you a fan of the combat of Spider-Man?
I do like the combat of Spider-Man because it's very spidey in terms of like he's everywhere all at once.
Zips through them, right?
Zips through everybody. But it's still
just lacking that spice for you.
There's something missing. If I put the game on hard, it's hard, but it's not what you'd expect. I expect to be like, I expect Doc to grab me by the throat and just,
What did you say?
Forget what I said. I didn't say anything. That whole context from harder, it was sounded wrong. We're scrapping that whole thing. Pretend you don't hear nothing. No, nobody heard me.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Anyway,
damn, I lost my place, man.
I always felt like that the Spidey games were missing just a little bit something extra, just something. Something that I'm hoping the Wolverine game won't lack. Because if the Wolverine game is lacking that, we're gonna have a problem. Because I love Wolverine more than I love Spidey.
I don't think the first one is gonna have the thing that we are talking about, because we won't have played it, so we'll be like curious and the mystery of it will be like pushing us forward. But yeah, I think maybe we're just being weird little guys, you know. Spider-Man's amazing. It's gonna be perfect.
My only problem with Miles Morales was the length. But I don't know, I guess it still kept the same. It was basically the same game, but with Miles.
It was a DLC. To me, that's what I felt like.
It was a DLC.
It was less a Ragnarok and more like a Left Behind or something like that. You know, something smaller to tide you over until the big job. But it told a really good story. You know, sometimes small stories tell really good stories. I don't know. Maybe that's just a me thing. Like 20 hours. It feels like 5 hours of a good story and then the rest is eh. You're just like, oh, God, gotta do this. But this was the big one for the showcase, that Spider-Man 2. Coming off it, what do you think about the showcase? Like, final thoughts.
I feel like we probably had a very similar discussion last year, with the showcase that included Ragnarok, right? That showcase was about Ragnarok.
I feel like it was a state of play, right?
Oh, it was a state of play. Yeah, you're right.
They haven't done a showcase since before the reveal of the PlayStation 5. And this is why I was harsh on it. I was like, I'm so used to state of play. Just call it a state. If you're going to show me, if you're not going to blow my mind, just call it a state of play.
So the thing about this is the showcase, right? I genuinely felt like it was a showcase, like a lot of really new things that Sony is trying to get into, and then showing what everybody really came for, which was Spider-Man. So they're trying to gain interest for all this new stuff they're doing, but at the same time going, hey, we know we showed you all this new stuff, but this is what you've been waiting for. So here you go.
Yeah, I think there's also something to be said about like Naughty Dog and Sony Santa Monica. Like, when did Last of Us 2 come out? Like, that was a couple years ago. So they're not ready with the next big one. And they've been working on the Last of Us multiplayer thing. And it seems like they don't feel like that's where it needs to be for them to show it. So they're not going to show anything that's Naughty Dog out of the thing. And then you have Sony Santa Monica. They just put out God of War. So we won't know what they're doing. Maybe for another year, maybe for another 2 years.
Well, yeah, for another year or two.
Which is fine by me. Just let them go off and do their thing, you know, let them have fun. Those guys are great. So I guess maybe it's like we felt like they were missing, you know. Usually they always have something to show, something we can look forward to. But there's something about, you know, game cycles. We have to respect the game cycle, you know what I mean? Give the devs time. And also Sony needs to show this. Yeah. Because this is their future. They need to showcase their future. And I think they did a good job. And seeing it a second time, I liked it more. You know, sometimes, you know, the hype gets you. Hype is a killer.
The hype gets you always.
Xbox showcase. I think we should the same way because man, going through some of these games, one by
Yeah,
one,
no,
man.
especially
Good
the Xbox
God.
ones. Nothing against Xbox, but some of the titles on the Xbox
Oh,
showcase,
hey,
man.
you're showing your age, showing your opinions. Yeah, okay.
I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
He's
Y'all,
not
yo,
playing.
y'all, yo, y'all, yo, y'all get stuff by
He's not
Xbox,
playing.
y'all.
He's just trying not to get canceled by Xbox people, but he's not playing.
Hey, who knows? Maybe in the future we'll be like, the Atlas Podcast was brought to you by Microsoft
I'm gonna just rattle off a bunch of names and I'm gonna see which one calls out to you the most. Forza Motorsport, or Senua Saga Hellblade.
Hellblade, man. Any day of the week. What? Hellblade.
You know, the interesting thing is I saw a lot of people going, oh, I didn't like this. And I'm like, but last time they showed us an action scene where we were fighting a giant troll, and now they showed us an
Yeah.
emotional scene.
Yes.
What do you want? Because
What do they want?
that was
What is
gameplay last time. Maybe people don't realize that that was gameplay. Maybe people don't believe that that was gameplay. I think people looked at that first one and went, this is not gameplay. This is a cutscene CGI. And so when they see this and it's like, you know, CGI scene with the ASMR, they're like,
Yeah.
nah, not this, bro.
Yeah.
The
I
ASMR
listened to that
voices, I
with
love it, yeah.
earphones. I listened to that with earphones in it, and I remembered how much that thing comes close to bring to making me lose my mind. I was taken back to the first game. I was like, okay, this game will definitely test your sanity
Is that
as
your
fuck.
most anticipated export by a mile?
That is, it has to be. In my mind, that has to be the most it was that game back when, not Back for Blood. That one that we talked about with the vampires that bombed. Xbox exclusive.
Oh my God, really?
That one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Man,
Redfall.
but
Redfall. Yeah.
oh, when you said Back for Blood, I was like, wait, what? Back for Blood bombed? I thought it did okay.
Right.
But yeah, Redfall destroyed everything for
Yeah.
Xbox, didn't it? It was like, okay, let's see what Xbox is gonna do at the show. Then right before it, like 2 months, how long ago did Redfall come out? Like maybe a month ago? What about Redfall? And it is a
Yeah.
disaster. It's not just a bad game, but it's like a bad performing game. Like the performance sucks as well. It's like on all levels. You should have
Yeah.
taken this and put it in the fridge and waited till next year when nobody's looking and just put it outside and you
Throwing it
know?
out silently, like a silent fart.
PlayStation would not have put that out. They would have been like, this is not gonna see the light of day. And the devs might have been angry about it, but I think they would have also understood this is not a good game. Because I think truly
Yes.
speaking, the studio that makes this game, Redfall, they made that good studio. They made damn, they made the game with the cool this I can it starts the D Dishonored. They made the Dishonored games. They
Oh
made good
yeah,
games.
Dishonored is such a big game.
They're the same people that made this game, but they make good games, single player games. And then the company, ZeniMax Studios, comes to them and says, we need this. We need multiplayer co-op. We need a live service game. And that's what destroys them. Xbox buys ZeniMax, of course, and they just get in, you know,
And now we're
they just get
here.
inherited this pile of poop. That is, I feel bad for them because, like, but by that time you can't change this pile of poop. But they should have been ruthless enough to go.
To
They should have done an HBO like they did with
That's all they
Bad
could have
Blood.
done. They could have put, they just put out the poop.
Remember when HBO just said, this bad woman, bad girl movie? And now you see it, now you
Elite.
don't.
Oh, then there was Fable looked
Fable.
really looked fun, looked like a really fun open world RPG.
Fable games have always been funny games, like really funny games. So I like that they kept that DNA even this trailer. I love the ending, the oh, Fable, where the character's about to say oh, and then turns to the title screen. But was this CGI? It feels like it was just a CGI trailer. Hints of
Yeah, it was a CGI
gameplay.
trailer. Yeah, I don't think there was even hints of gameplay. It was full on CGI
What
the
I'm
whole
thinking
way.
is some people are like that moment when the giant is is like trying to smack the girl like that is chasing. But I'm like, I don't think that was gameplay. I think that was just a trailer stuff. I think it was just the way they framed it. I think it's a ways off, dude. I'm thinking this is 2025. If we're like being realistic, sometimes game isn't realistic. This feels 2025, maybe late 2024.
Late 2025 for sure.
This is far away. Let's talk about Avowed. Explore the Living Lands, a mysterious island filled with adventure and danger in this first-person fantasy RPG from Obsidian Entertainment. Obsidian are the same people that make, I don't know if you've ever heard of these games, Pillars of Eternity. You ever heard of those games?
They're no. Like these, like, no, I'm trying to think.
They're like these like RPG, I think turn-based kind of very good games. Very good games. They also did The Outer Worlds. Have you heard about that one as well? I think you've heard about this one. Maybe
yes, I've heard of it, but I never played it.
So Avowed is the same universe as Pillars of Eternity, same like fantasy world, but it's first person. The way I think of it is first person Skyrim. You know, you got magic in your hands, you got the sword in your hand, but you're first person, which is not my favorite, but okay. You know, I got over the cyberpunk first person. I can get over this. And I dig it. I dig it. But I don't know if everybody else is going to dig it because it looks like a PS4 gen game. The graphics of Avowed look a bit PS4 gen, which is not bad. Sometimes I think developers can...
It's not bad, but ambitious. I feel like it's not... Yeah, I don't think it's everyone that can get like those super next gen graphics going for their thing.
And also if you get the next having gen previous graphics, gen graphics, it's going to play like rubbish.
Bad.
The next gen level graphics always play like rubbish sometimes. You're trying to do the thing and then the frames are like dipping and this is first person. They have to think of performance at the front of everything. But what did you think of Avowed?
It looked like something that I would play if I don't know. If I got nothing else going on, you know, it looks, I mean, I'm always attracted to anything fantasy, but I always need a reason, like a reason to stay in that fantasy world, you know. You give me a reason to stay with you, to stay Avowed, so to speak.
Right now, I don't think they've shown people the reason why they need to play Avowed. Like, they've shown some interesting combat, but I don't know if they've given people enough of a reason to be like, oh, Avowed, I'm really excited. Like we were talking with the graphics, like, the graphics are not calling people in. Like, the combat looks like Skyrim, but people played that already. So I don't know if that's calling people in either. So we'll see about that. Let's just jump into the biggest one, Star Wars.
And then, I mean, Outlaws. So kind of...
Oh, you want to keep going?
they gave plenty of reasons to stay. They have plenty of reasons to stay. I mean, I feel like, you know, checking out the trailer for that thing. First seeing the trailer and then seeing the gameplay trailer. I mean, the character herself kind of reminds you of like Han Solo. You know how Star Wars always has these really zany characters that are just like involved in the underground and they have no business being in the underworld, but they anyway.
Those like roguish scoundrels, like they're just doing business in the underground world.
Yeah, doing business, and they have ties with all these people. But there's something that's super interesting that I noticed in the gameplay trailer. Like there's this her droid asks, or rather says to her, "I doubt you're going to be doing business with the Pike Empire anytime soon." And like there's this little thing that went off on the top left of the screen that says Pike, that said Pike Syndicate reputation, and then it has this arrow, this red arrow going down, and I'm thinking, so you have to like curry favors from different crime syndicates, I'm guessing, throughout the game, and depending on where your reputation is, you may or may not get what you want from those families, which is interesting, I think.
That sounds very cool.
As a little bit of Godfather influence to
that. That sounds extremely cool because Jedi Fallen Order deals with the Jedi stuff. So they don't have to keep on hopping on about Jedi. There's a bunch of other things going on in Star Wars. There's also like a bunch of criminal stuff going on, like that always needs an eye, because it's like that's some of the most interesting stuff that Star Wars like has done, is the like criminal stuff in the background. You know, there's like a the whole network and the stuff going on in the background. So I'm really interested in
the blaster
stuff looked good as
that's
well.
That's true. I mean, going more on what you mentioned just now, I mean, if you're looking at like the Star Wars movies and a good chunk of the Star Wars games, they're all usually focusing on the whole Force, Jedi, Empire, big picture thing. There's never been a game or like there's never really been a game or like a show that focuses more like on the small picture. Like, let's see what's going on in the underworld.
I always wanted the Boba Fett movie to deal with that, and then it came out and did not get any. Absolute turd.
Trash.
Absolutely just, bad, dude.
Just ass. Just capital ass with a lot of S.
Dude, the only part of it that was good was like Mandalorian season 2.5 that came in somewhere in the middle. Just to juice up the rating. Hey, let's throw in Luke Skywalker. Oh, spoiler. I mean, if you haven't seen it by now, screw you, man. That's your problem, mine.
If you haven't seen it by now, just get to the third season of The Mandalorian. You won't miss much.
Yeah, dude. In fact, if you go to just the third season of Mandalorian, like, that shit doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter.
Great. Seeing the Star Wars underground is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because it's always been explored and touched on, and it kind of begs the question about some of the people in the Star Wars underworld, like that we've seen over the years. Will we get to see Lando? Are we going to see a young Lando in there? Probably, I hope.
I didn't think about that. like in terms of the criminal network, I actually didn't check which part in the timeline this comes from, so I have no idea.
I think from what I read, it's in the timeline of the before the Empire got destroyed. That's and
okay. So this is
somewhere between Luke doing his thing. Okay, I don't know if we're gonna be.
That's an interesting.
I don't know if you have enough. It says 1 minute left.
That's an interesting place to place it. Viewers, we're gonna have to go for another break. We have something today. Today we're also sponsored by Clean Wipes. Clean Wipes are the best.
Clean Wipes keep you clean.
We're never gonna have any sponsors, are we? Anyway, see you in a bit. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the break.
This is not the first break. And honestly, the reasons for the break just ridiculous.
Don't worry about it. It's just a lot. You don't need to worry about that. But anyway, speaking of timelines, we were at I actually did find a definitive answer. Star Wars Outlaws takes place between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Very interesting.
So, in that, Han Solo is still frozen in carbonite.
I remember seeing my brain was like, is that Han Solo? And I just thought nothing of it. But like, holy crap, that's interesting, man. Like, we could actually get.
I wonder if I could get her to spring him. As like a whole thing, that'd be interesting.
Like, I wonder what if we're there, like when the events in, is it Return of the Jedi happen?
Yeah.
Where like, Leia's in the Jabba the Hutt palace, and then Luke comes in.
Yeah.
He's like wearing the dark clothes, super cool.
Oh.
Like maybe
we might
in the background,
there.
Like what's going on over there?
Yeah.
Or
we might walk in to Jabba the Hutt's place while Leia is still in her getup before Luke even gets there. We're like, oh, who's that chick?
Very interesting. I wonder if like they would have discussions, like if Leia would be like, who's this person? She looks interesting. Maybe the talk, and she'd be like, I'm in the plan. Stop ruining my plan. Dumb girl. I don't know what Lee would say.
You're doing the wrong thing.
That's interesting. Right there. But Ubisoft, This looks good. Like, this feels high budget. Not like Ubisoft on their normal stuff. This is a high budget, high, big funding Ubisoft. And I think it looks good so far. And to be fair, they make good open worlds. Just a bit tired of them.
They do. I mean, if they could make something that's not open world, that'd be great. But, you know, it's their bread and butter. You know, you stick to the well. It's still got water.
Maybe
still gonna go to the
just
well
keep
and get
trying
some
to force the Assassin's Creed formula into open world. Maybe that's the failure of the problem.
I really hope they're not gonna try and do that. I really hope they're not gonna try and do that with Star Wars Outlaws. I really hope they're not gonna try and do that. Because I really liked everything I saw.
I feel like those gameplay trailers, I believe. I'm just picturing how Ubisoft games look. But then it looked very Star Wars, you know what I mean? When I looked at it, I didn't feel like, oh, this felt stuck, which is, I think that maybe that's what we sometimes in Crysis CD Project Red.
Indeed. No, I mean, granted, from what they showed, it looked very Star Wars from, I mean, who has wanted to drive a land speed and a freaking, whatchamacallit, and a spaceship, right?
So cool, dude.
And shoot TIE fighters in space, So if they can do that,
So that's going to be huge. There's another thing that is showed off that at this Xbox showcase that is not Xbox, but it's big, which is Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. What do you think about Phantom Liberty?
As a guy who is struggling.
I just realized it's not even going to PS4. I just realized.
I hear that, but it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, I have been struggling to finish the original Cyberpunk.
I'm looking at the box right now, and I'm like, damn it, I'm forgetting. The thing is, I load up that game, it's 200 gigabytes. And then I just don't play it enough. I just feel overwhelmed. I just do like little side missions, you know, like quick stuff that I can do in like 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, shoot these guys. Bah, 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 bah. Okay, next mission. You know, that's all I like about stuff. And the photo mode. Photo mode and small side mission. But like diving into the story, I can't finish it. It's like The Witcher. Oh my God.
I feel like I would enjoy that game and finish it and be able to, I'd be able to finish that game. I wasn't rendering the whole time while playing it.
That's the other thing. Like, the PS4 is still, they've improved it, but it's still, there's a reason why Phantom Liberty is not going to PS4. Like, they know that they can't do it. It's literally that bad. It's literally that bad. Like, they know for sure that if they put out Phantom Liberty on PS4, it's going to result in a torrent of anger and hatred because they just know they cannot pull it off. I think at this point they know it's impossible for them to pull off Cyberpunk on PS4 and Xbox.
It is impossible. But I mean, it was pretty cool to see Idris in a game. I don't think I've ever seen Idris in a game before.
Idris Elba, Keanu Reeves, same screen. I mean, Keanu is more like a ghost in our mind, but like, technically
same thing. He's technically there doing his thing.
You know, I was sitting there thinking the other day, I was like, some people would love Keanu Reeves, like, be in a movie. Like, there's a bunch of people that, like...
Yeah, Keanu Reeves be in a movie with what's his name? That would be interesting.
Like, he's just...
That would be interesting.
He's just a legend. But I heard, and this was from the previews, for those of you who maybe jumped off it on PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, I heard that the critics apparently were told not to talk too much about this, but it seems like there's more improvements they've made to the game, like the base game, not just for Phantom Liberty, but in terms of like AI, the police, just things about how the game works that they've changed and said nothing about. And that stuff is actually very interesting, but I'm wondering why they're not talking about it. Like, it's very interesting because everybody's going to have access to it. In the base game, it seems like a no-brainer to tell people that you've made improvements to the base game. Like, just because you're marketing Phantom Liberty, that doesn't mean you shouldn't talk about improvements you're making to the base game. But it's almost like there was a I was listening to this podcast, and the journalist was like, oh, and while I was playing the game, I noticed so many changes to the AI, change to the police. And then the dev was immediately like, we don't want to talk too much about that right now. He did it in a Polish accent. But it's like,
I don't even know what a Polish accent sounds like, I'm honest.
Yeah, it's why my accent sounded so weird. but it's, I just don't understand, like, why they're not talking about that just a bit more, just to boost up the cyberpunk numbers even more. Because if you're making the base game better, that's huge. Not just for Phantom Liberty, but just for the base game. So many people still don't have the base game because of what happened. Like, those changes represent like a change to almost a complete new game. If you take, if taking away the AI, sometimes the AI pull down. Like, you just walk up behind them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this guy's not gonna, okay. It's just, if they're making changes that big, I want everybody to know. I'd be like, I'm shouting from the rooftops. Like, we're making this change.
I mean, I feel like at this point, I don't think I don't think I'll finish Cyberpunk on PS4. I really don't think I will finish Cyberpunk on PS4. I've gone back many, many times trying to just get through it. It's not happening. It'll probably never happen.
Next gen, I think, with the changes they've made, it's like stepping into a different game, dude. From the launch to now, just a different game. So continue with the Xbox, which I almost forgot that we're talking about, because Star Wars Outlaws and Cyberpunk are just like they're like third party games. I mean, the PS showcase also did the same thing. Both these showcases did a thing I don't like, where it was a game that is coming out on every like platform. They didn't say it. They did it coming to you know, whatever company was hosting the showcase, and I'm like, it's kind of shitty.
Yeah, they're not advertising for each other anymore. I feel like that's a thing that they silently agreed to never do. They're just not going to advertise for each other anymore.
It's just so false, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's coming to the PS5, but also the Xbox and the. Well, hang on, wait. It's like, man, this is just so, I don't know, man. These days, I feel like they're playing a little dirty. Ever since the PlayStation was fighting for the Activision deal to sort of end, I feel like they started playing a little dirty. But do you remember the trailer for this one, of Midnight or something like that? That started this, like, dude in this, like, strange, feels like stop motion. I don't know if that's in the right word. But like this specific type of animation that it feels like where he's playing the guitar and then this like girl comes up and she's like, hey, I'm looking for this thing. And then like the animals around her like start bouncing around and then some monster starts creeping up behind her, which seems like a hint at something that has not been revealed yet. So we don't know anything about this yet from Xbox. But what did you think of this trailer, cinematic trailer?
I mean, starting with the style of animation. This animation from a few years ago. I think it's like 2017 or something. It was called Kubo and the Two Strings. The animation is bad. Yeah,
because that's what.
Yeah, it's. I feel it looks like that. It looks very stop motion, but like a lot smoother. Almost like they had stop motion models. And then they just started moving those.
Interesting. I'm sure there's a word for it, but I'm not that deep into animation. But the vibe is interesting. But again, it's a cinematic trailer. Can't get too excited. He's just gonna get your heart broken.
Yeah.
Just gonna get your heart broken. There was another.
I remember a time when the difference in gaming between cinematic trailers and gameplays was massive, like PS2 era, where you see a cinematic trailer and you're like, I know for a fact that's not the gameplay. Don't play with me.
I feel like they brought the two together a bit closer these days. Like, it's tough because they were using this excuse. They were saying in-engine. You could tell it's a cinematic, but they were saying in-engine. But I feel like even that's just so false, man. Like, yeah, it's made with the game engine, but that's just CGI with a different... CGI with your
different name.
It's still CGI.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
CGI, right? The day.
Just pushing. And there was another one called Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, a new tale of the Kami awaits. Witness an epic clash between the spirit realm and mortal man, featuring traditional Japanese. It was very like Japanese art style and artwork, coming all the way from Capcom, and it's going to be on Game Pass, which is weird. Usually PlayStation jumps on the Japanese stuff, but like, it's still extremely interesting. Don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah,
it looks weird. But Path of the Goddess, Kunitsugami. It looks very interesting.
Kunitsugami. Hey man, they had me at the name, man. They as long as they don't make it too crap, I'll probably play Kunitsugami.
This guy is kind of got a fetish for the Japanese stuff.
Yeah, anything Japanese gets a pass, as long as it's good.
You didn't even deny it. That's disgusting.
Nah.
You went, it's true. Straight up. It's so funny. There was another one that was shown, something like Metamorphosis Fantasia or something like this. I'm trying to look for the name and I can't find it. Where are you? There's a game that's like shown that seemed like it was by the makers of Persona.
Persona something.
No.
Wasn't it?
But there was another one that is made by them, but it's not Persona. It's like Metamorphos and Fantasio. It looks like a game by those makers who do the Persona games, who are making a Persona-style game, but it's completely different. And man, the UI is just interesting. Like, I don't know if you played Persona. Have you played Persona? Persona is like a really long RPG, but it's good. It's good, but I don't know if you like the combat. I believe it's turn-based mostly. I played Persona for like an hour, and I could tell that it's long as hell. But I could also tell it's like really good. But I think you should play it. Like, Persona is one of those games, like, play an hour. It's like...
And then stop.
Stop you. Oh, yoy.
Starfield. The big... This is the equivalent of Spider-Man. This was the equivalent of Spider-Man for the Xbox showcase.
For you, yes. For me, this was the first trailer that I felt like, oh, this is actually an interesting game. I've disliked it so far. Before this, I thought this is a waste of time, a waste of money. Why are they putting all their hopes on this? But now, I'm like, it is so massive. It looks so massive that you're going to find this little thing that you like, and that is going to be as long as most games. You can just follow that.
Pretty much.
Because, like, making 1,000 planets is nonsense. But when...
some of those planets are probably crap.
Just empty, right? But then, like, you think of, like, how modded is Skyrim these days? There's so many mods. It's like a different game when you
start.
I'm thinking people on PC, like, in a year or two, Starfield is still going on. it's going to roll on and on and on. And some people will be coming in.
Now that I think about it, the
ships and stuff.
Some people are probably going to mod the planets.
Exactly. You get the whole world to play with. The dude was talking about galaxy and lighting and stuff, the sun. And I was like, oh my God. That's unnecessary. You don't even need to do that. Like, why are you going this hard? I don't like this story elements here. Nothing really interesting to me. But in terms of a world where you can just play it, like, you just come in, do stuff, leave. Come every single day. It looks like you can do that till infinity. This looks like it's 100 million hours. but it looks like it's gonna be. In parts, very mid. But everybody's going to find something, right? You're going to be like, oh, man, the combat is just so boring. But then you're going to, like, start making ships. Like in the extended trailer, there was a lady that, like, was talking, and she was like, oh, you can build mechs. And then they showed, like, someone who built, like, a ship that looked like a mech. And I was like, that's insane. Those parts are more interesting to me. There's so many... It's hard to talk about. It's hard to know, like, because it's so big. You don't know which part of it is going to be interesting. But I do agree with you. There's parts of this game that will be boring. That just will be uninteresting. Like, going on a planet and, like, like crafting materials. Also, the planets look so dead. Just like, are there aliens in this place? Like it honestly made me want to play. For those who have not played, this is a great game. I played Mass Effect 1 about a while ago, and man,
yeah,
that is a perfect game. If you were like, this Starfield thing looks cool with all these planets and all these worlds, I think that what you should actually play is like Mass Effect in terms of like combat and like even like relationships with like your crew members and stuff like that, because they hinted at that with Starfield as well. And I think Mass Effect
and probably does that better.
Exactly, aliens as well. The world in my Mass Effect feels so much more alive. You know what I mean? So much more diverse, so alive. Whereas Starfield feels like a sci-fi. And that, I mean, in part, it just looks like the realism is taken to a point where it becomes boring.
I feel like another reason why Starfield even exists is Xbox is leaning into the thing that made them famous. Space made Xbox famous. I mean, if you're looking at what's that game with the Master Chief?
Halo. I will say that it's technically not an Xbox game, is it? I feel like they just acquired it and they were like, oh, you guys are making a space game? Because Bethesda was like, we're making Skyrim in space. And Xbox was like,
yeah,
oh, we're buying you guys and you're making, you're in space? I'm sure that made them happy.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially these days, space... you know, Halo sucks.
Halo sucks these days. They need something else. I feel like Xbox has been desperately, well, now they're desperately reaching for something, anything that can put them in the spotlight long enough in a positive way. Something that'll make people go, oh my god, I'm gonna jump
games, from right?
this platform and go to Xbox. Right? Because there's a lot of people out there that are jumping from Xbox to PlayStation because they're like, there's just more to play that I can enjoy over there.
In terms of games, they're just losing.
In terms of graphics, without a doubt, I had an Xbox One for almost 2 years. In terms of graphics, oh my god, oh my god.
That's where.
Oh my god.
Everything went wrong for them. It was one such a bad console, dude. It was more expensive than the PS as well at launch. So
yeah,
by the time they like launched the like new Xbox, improved Xbox One, it was too late. They'd lost the game.
It's too late.
They lost everything. PlayStation was so strong and the PS4 generally powerful. But I do like that Starfield is something PlayStation doesn't have. Like,
yes.
PlayStation doesn't have a sci-fi RPG that is the size of a galaxy.
No.
It doesn't have that.
No,
they don't have Bethesda. Who's going to make Skyrim after this? They don't have that. But
they don't have that anymore. They don't even... Jeez. Now that they think about it, they don't have...
I think Xbox just got to lean into that. Lean into the RPG. Because there's places where they're doing really well. Xbox gamers are going to be able to play this without buying the game. They're going to be able to get this on Game Pass. First day.
Are
you kidding me? This is a 70-80 for PC players. This is crying. And I think they're actually missing a trick by not doing this on PlayStation. I think it would have sold bucket loads on PlayStation. But they obviously need exclusives, so they have to put it there. But this should probably be on all platforms. Maybe I'm biased.
in the context of the war on consoles, they cannot be on everything, unfortunately.
Just the money, bro. Put this on PlayStation. 100%. This is going to be a huge game. And I'm telling you,
it's gonna...
you have to put this on PlayStation. You have to. Please. Xbox, why?
And the person that always benefits the most from all this is always PC gamers.
I mean, they don't
get Xbox exclusives. They get some PlayStation exclusives. They get some Xbox. They get all the Xbox exclusives. They get some of the PlayStation.
PlayStation is nasty because you can see how like they don't just not care about Xbox. They don't care about PC players too because their exclusives don't come out on PC either. just like, no, this is PlayStation. It comes out like four years later.
Dude, it took 5 years for both God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn to release on PC.
That just takes so much time.
Now PC gamers are sitting there. PC gamers are sitting there thinking, okay, so we gotta wait like another 5 years for the sequels. Okay.
And that's where, like, I see Xbox kind of having a good plan. Like, Xbox Game Pass is on Xbox, but it's also on PC. Technically, yeah. Like, if you're on PC, you don't have to buy the game. You can get Xbox Game Pass.
Get Game Pass, and you're good.
It's way cheaper, and you get a bunch of other games. You don't have to, like, when you spend these on these games, it's like losing an arm to your leg, then you get home and you shit. It's like, what? You get home and you don't like it. God, dude, just the pain.
I sometimes remember put in Ragnarok and I'm like, wait, what if I don't like this game? What if I hate it and spend that money?
But I remember playing parts of Ragnarok and I'm going, oh man, I don't like this part, but I paid 70. I love this game. This is the best game. What do you mean? 5 stars. Best game I've ever played. Because even the parts I don't like, it's just like, it's just, I don't care. It's the best game, man. I paid so much for it. You know, I have to say that. But yeah, Starfield, the showcase for Starfield was 45 minutes for one game. They said it's not everything. What were these people smoking in a media?
Yeah.
How do you make a game that, like, why? But I think that's where we should call it today on the Xbox show. There's other stuff that's important.
Yes, because it'll end up being 5 hours. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Right. I feel like kind of shortchanged the Xbox guys. But anyway. Oh, right on time too. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dabblers Showcase episode. For all you gamers out there, oh, wait, let me try my Warriors slash that chick from John Wick 4 voice.
Okay.
Hey there, you boppers. Thank you for tuning into the Dabblers Podcast. For all you gamers out there, keep playing, keep swinging, keep pressing all those buttons, those L1s, those R1s, those RTs, those RBs. Thank you for coming to the podcast. Right? Was that good? Was that good?
Am I wrong? Was that in the Warriors?
It was in the Warriors, yeah. That exact sequence. Nah, I don't think it's the same voice actor.
So do you think way old. They were inspired by that Warriors sequence?
Yeah, they were definitely inspired by that Warriors sequence.
Wow. That's amazing. By the way, the Warriors movie is not as good as it.
No,
we'll talk about this another time.
We're going to do a Warriors thing.
The game is a classic.
Game is a classic for real. I always get tempted whenever I see it on the PlayStation retro section and it's for sale and I'm like,
I wonder if it's
on. But I know the graphics won't be great.
I wonder if PS Plus retro. I don't think it is. PS Plus classics. I don't think it is. That it's terrible. It's a proper anyway.
It's a proper classic. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dabblers. That was the zany part of things. And I feel like I should have a line. I always have a line. Yeah, that's where it ends. Yeah, see you. I see that. Peace out.
The Dabblers Podcast is sponsored by Clean Wipe. Wipe that.
We keep you clean.